Okay. Are you guys ready to hear the word today? All right, I got four people today that are ready to hear from Jesus. The rest of you guys are like, yeah, I'm like, we're just here to show up for the cake. We're going to hang out in Nehemiah 8 today. I'm going to actually be bouncing around. And we're talking about in our series, Stealing Christmas, how to sucker punch the Grinch. Because we need to have our joy back, don't we? I think we're tired of living life absent of joy. And if you are anybody like me, you can kind of say that life is tough sometimes, right? That sometimes all this stuff happens, whether it's the finances, whether it's relationships, whatever your thing is, it gets tough from time to time, doesn't it? And it seems like everything is overwhelming. Like this happens and this happens. Like we couldn't just have like the sink break. It has to be the sink, the car, the garage. Everything has to happen all at once, right? Am I the only one this happens to? No, because, you know, and then on top of that, okay, so everything in the house breaks, then everything in the, what, at work begins to go wrong, then everything at your friend's house goes wrong, and you're like, all right, the worst now I can have happen is somebody gives me a cat, okay? That's the worst. And so everything's coming at you. Now here's the thing. You ready for this? Everything's going to come at you. You can't control that. You can't control stupid. I'm just real. You can't control people's actions. You can't control what they do or how they come at you. However, you can control what's inside of you. You can choose how to respond. You can choose to have joy in any situation. You can choose to be better than the person coming at you. You can choose to be joyful even though that person wants you to be miserable. Are we with me so far? You have these choices because here's the thing. Nothing in your life can crush your life if your spirit isn't crushed. If your spirit isn't crushed, nothing in this life can truly crush you. And that means that comes from that relationship with God and how depth and how rich that relationship is with God. Because the more I'm in relationship, the more I get to know Jesus, the more I make him my friend, because Jesus says that we can be friends. The more I make him in that, the more we build relationship, the stronger I am. And the stronger I am, that means when life hits me, it won't break me, beat me, or crush me. But it all comes down to that whole thing. And if you remember last week, we opened up with the scripture, John 10:10. And it said this, it said, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. You know, the battle in our lives is over the quality of our lives. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, if you say, I'm going to go to heaven because I've accepted Christ as my Savior, the devil can't take that away from you. He can't say, ha ha, I stole your salvation. He can't do that. So what he has to do now is the quality of your life he can mess with. He can sit there and make you miserable. He says, okay, if you're going to be joyful in heaven for the rest of your eternity, I'll make you miserable while you're on earth for the rest of your life. But God's like, stop. Hammer time. He throws the hammer down and he says, you know what? He says, devil, you may try to make them have a bad quality of life, but I came to give them what? An abundant life. What is that abundance? An abundance of joy, an abundance of peace, an abundance of power. You know what the abundance of power is? Is that the Holy Spirit says, hey, I've given you power. Now tell the devil to shut up. Let that sink in for a second. Here's the thing. The devil is working on the outside. He's throwing all this stuff at you. He's like, this is happening and this is happening because he's trying to overwhelm you. Follow? God is working from the inside. So God is trying to heal you. God is trying to change you. God is trying to revive the heart that was once dead. And you've heard me say this illustration a couple times, but I think it's a perfect illustration for this. It's the illustration of the submarine. Why does a submarine not explode or implode when it's under the water? Because the internal pressure is equal to greater than the external pressure pushing on it. And you got to remember that the submarine has had millions of pounds of square inch per pressure of pressure pushing against it. When the devil pushes the pressure of the external against you, if the internal pressure, God who is in you and God who is with you, and you have that relationship, pushes against that, not only does it begin to push back, but it begins to overcome and you live a victorious life. Everybody should, let me have your ears for this. This is good. You want to write this one down. Okay, you ready for this? We like having fun in this church. We like smiling. You know, I think Jesus smiled once, and I can't stand going into churches where people all look like they sucked pickle juice. And you're like, man, I think God's bored in some churches. But here's the thing. The devil, on his best day, couldn't beat me on my worst day. The devil on his best day, when he's active, when he's doing this and he's throwing this at me, he's throwing that at me, he's throwing this at you, throwing that at you, and on our worst day ever, could not overcome you and I, because greater is he in you than greater is he that is in the world. And we've got to stop getting to a place where we continually give our joy away to the devil because we think he's stronger than God. And that's what we do. We say, you know what? The devil somehow has all of this power and he can overtake God. You know what? That's the biggest lie ever. There is nothing in this world that can overtake God. And when God says, I give you a joy and I give you the abundance of joy, and even the fact that Galatians says you can develop the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy, why do we keep giving away what God said you don't lose unless you give it away? So again, we got to change our mentalities, because on my worst day ever and the devil's best day, he still can't overcome me. And it has nothing to do with me. It has to do to everything with the Jesus inside of me. Listen, it says that if you want to know the scripture for that, it's 1 John 4:4. You are from God. If you know Jesus Christ, you're from God. And he says, little children. I love those verses when he says little children and they all get offended. I'm no child. Yeah, you are. And you have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he is who is in the world. You walk with Jesus. Jesus doesn't take a night off. Jesus doesn't check out. There's no vacancy in Motel 8 there. All the time, 100%, day in and day out, Jesus is always with you. So why is it that I see so many Christians, including myself so often, live their lives in defeat when the victory is already in there? Last year was probably a very hard year for us, like me and my wife and things. I mean, Mary wasn't working, so there was financial things, and, you know, the kids are giving us trouble, and the doctors, and all these other things are happening. You ever have this? And then I was working at a part of my job where somebody didn't like me. I don't know how people don't like me. I mean, come on, really? And, you know, and I'm sitting there, and this person really didn't like me, but the problem was that it made it a hostile place to work in. And so it was just one thing after another, and I'm going to tell you, when you're at your worst, when you feel down, when you lose joy, quitting is very attractive. Quitting is very attractive. And you're like, man, what I wouldn't give to be on the beach with a ginger ale, because we don't drink in this church, with a ginger ale, you know, and then, and you like, I just want to give up on life. And then I was reminded, I was sitting there, and the Lord reminded me, he said, these light and momentary afflictions are going to be compared to nothing than the life you're going to live in eternity with me. He said, so have joy. I've already won this. I've already got this battle. I've already been there. I already did this. And I just, it's unfathomable at the time, because we only look what we're going through, don't we? We never look what we're going to. God's bringing us two things. And we're like, this is what I'm going through. And we get like tunnel vision. And our tunnel vision steals our joy. And God's like, take the blinders off. Because God is joy. It's time to grab hold of joy. And I think that's part of the problem with why the church is so powerless nowadays, because there's not a church overflowing with joy in it. What happened to the shouting? What happened to the praise God? What happened to all that stuff? What happened to truly worshiping God? Why is it that when we clap for God, we can clap louder for a sports team that we're sitting in front of a TV, and we don't even hear as loud a clapping than we will in church for the universe, the God of the creator of the universe? Am I speaking to some people today? Because I'm going to tell you, It's out of balance. When we put God in the correct place in our lives, we begin to gain joy back. We begin to overflow in joy. Then you begin to do things that you never thought possible because you now have the strength to do them. You're now going to have the strength and the courage to say, you know what? I don't care if y'all think I'm stupid for worshiping. I don't care because you know why? Because I'm going to have an experience with the creator of the universe and I'm going to walk out of here different. If you want to walk in here with a mug on your face and leave with a mug on your face, then you go right ahead. But I know when I get into the presence of God, when I get into the spirit of God, I know that something has to change. And I'm like, God, let that be my crappy attitude. I'm just going to be real enough to say it. All you're like, God, change my finances. God, help me lose these zits. God, you know. And I'm like, dude, my attitude sucks. Change it. Because I know if I have an attitude of judgment with God, everything else in my life will start to filter out. So I'm up here. I'm worshiping. I'm down there. I'm like, God, I start repenting for things. I mean, when you get God's spirit, it's not like, oh, it's the spirit of God. I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's God. God, I'm so sorry for this. Lord, I repent for that. Lord, I'm like, man, God, just forgive me. And I'm almost crying here. And this just happened a few minutes ago. And I feel the gentle urging of the spirit saying, he said, don't beat yourself up. I already forgave it. Have joy. You're victorious. Listen to the scripture. I love this. Psalm 30 verse 5 says this. Weeping may last for a night, but a shout of joy. Now, I hear people quote this verse. They always say, but joy comes in the morning. It says, a shout of joy comes in the morning. It's not like joy kind of sneaks in and says, hi, I'm here. Hey, I'm Joy today. Welcome. I'm glad to be here today. That joy comes in. You begin to shout. You begin to say, my God, my Jesus. You know, you begin to have that overflowing of joy in your life. Because I'm going to tell you, every one of us is going through at some point in our lives, maybe now, probably now, a season of night. I don't know about your season of night. Some seasons of night are longer than others. Some of you guys are like, man, I have the Guinness Book of World Records for the season of the longest night in my life. Okay, and we're praying for you too. Now, the deal is that it's a season, and seasons end. Hear that again. Seasons end. Sometimes life is very challenging. Sometimes life is tough, and sometimes that toughness lasts for years. But I'm going to tell you what, seasons end. God has promised that because he says joy comes in the morning. When there's a nighttime in your life, the morning is already there. Why? Because Jesus Christ said, I am the light. I am the light of the world. You see, remember these verses here? And then when you have the light, 1 John tells me that the darkness can't understand the light. So what it tells me is that even through my night seasons, if I have the joy of the Lord in my life, he's the light in my life, so the darkness doesn't affect me. That I can sit there and have joy no matter what's coming at me. Everybody's like, man, you know how hard that is? Yeah, I know. I get it. But let's stop making excuses on how hard it is and begin to activate it. I mean, Paul and Silas, worst day of their lives. We talked about this last week. They're in a jail. They're beaten. They're broken. They're in the sewers running through the jail. They're in stocks. I mean, could you think of how many infectious diseases are already in that jail with them? If you're a germaphobe, you're already kind of when you seizure medicine in the middle. But the deal is that here that is, and they're not complaining. And they're singing hymns of joy to God. What? You think that? I'm like, so often, God's like, if you just praise me, I'll give you a miracle, because that's what happened. But you know what we do? We praise our complaining, and we don't praise God. Because we are the kings and queens of God. This isn't fair. God, I'm complaining, complaining, complaining. And God's like, if you would just stop complaining. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us don't complain. But we forget that verse. We remember the verse that God gives us abundance. But we forget the verse that God says, shut up. Let's just get real. Stop complaining. It got the Israelites, what, 40 years in the desert. So if it got the Israelites 40 years in the desert and then they complained so much that it actually killed off an entire generation who didn't see the promised land, do you think God's going to be like, okay, your complaining is okay, you just complain a little bit? Because Because what do we have to complain about? I mean, seriously. Yes, life is hard. Yes, things happen. But God is good. Life can be challenging, but God is beautiful and God is everything. And you know, when you walk at night, look up at the stars. The creator who hung every single star out there is the creator who said, you know what? I'm going to live on the inside of you. Is the creator that says, in that, I'm going to love you. And you have the access to everything that God has because he's inside of you. So it doesn't matter what we're going through. And I don't want to downplay anything. Some situations are much harder than others. We don't downplay and we don't ignore situations in Christianity. But we understand that the promises of God are bigger than our situations. The fact is that you and I have salvation, that we can be in heaven forever, should give us the joy we need to have the strength we need to get through what we're going through. Are you with me so far, guys? But this will end. Then I thought of something. Why are we Grinches? And you're all getting like, don't send me an email saying I ain't a Grinch. Yeah, you are. Because I could be a Grinch sometimes. Let's show this video real quick. See if we can.
Alphabetically. Aardvarkian, Abakanesha who? I hate you! Aridby Benson who? I hate you. Hate, hate, hate. Hate, hate, hate. Double hate. Loathe entirely. Alphabetically.
So, if we'll turn the lights back on, please. Or we can put a strobe light and we can start worshiping God in strobe. Thank you. Now, I showed that clip because I love watching movies to see how human behavior is. Because that is a true sense of human behavior right there. Why? Because he's out there showing you verbally what we think inside anyway. And one of the things that we're such a Grinch in our lives is because we've never dealt with the pain in our lives. And it's movie time. Thank you, honey. So I love my wife. She's so beautiful. She's trying to make it comfortable in here. And so anyway, so let's focus back in here because this is good. Here's the thing is that in our lives, if you don't deal with your pain, if you don't find forgiveness or give forgiveness, if you don't go to the places where you say, God, I need this healed, you end up as it like the Grinch there. Because you end up having negative responses and negative things coming out of your mouth. Why? Because you don't have anything positive in your heart. Now, the Bible says this. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I don't care if you say, I have a good heart. Let me hear how you speak for a little bit when you're not paying attention to me listening to you. Because I'm going to tell you, your mouth will tell you what's in your heart. And so often, if we have a negative, complaining attitude, what happens is there's a lot of hurt inside of us that we've never dealt with. Because here's the deal. You can have joy or you can live in pain and anger and bitterness, but you're not going to live in both. You're going to have to feed one and starve the other. And if we're only focusing on our pain, then we won't experience joy. Pain is real. We go through pain. But you can have joy in the midst of it. You can have joy in the midst of it. The other thing is this, and if you watch any more of the movie, is that they're controlled by negative circumstances. Controlled by negative circumstances. That means when something happens around you, you have a bad day just because something happened. Why is it that we let everything around us dictate our joy for the day? Why is it that if we get stuck somewhere, we run out of gas, guilty a lot of that. I mean, you ever try to get it on E and then suddenly it's just like too much on E and then you stop? Guilty. And then it ruins your whole day. Why is it that we give power to people around us to steal our joy? Why is it that we allow others to just say whatever they want and then have us completely destroyed because of it? Why is it that we allow every situation around us to destroy our joy? Because we freely give it away. And the deal is that, you know, God wants you to understand it's not about what we're going through. It's not about our situations. It's about him. Thank God we serve a God who never changes. Thank God isn't ADD. Thank God didn't wake up this morning and said, you know what, I'm going to be this way. Oh, I'm going to be this way. Oops, you didn't see me today, did you? Because I was hiding. Ha ha. Doesn't happen that way. But the fact is we put our trust in situations, and when our situations shift, we lose our joy. And God said it's time to begin to shift from situational trust to godly trust. Because if you put your trust in God, no matter what you're going through, no matter where you're at, you can maintain joy and peace. You can maintain it. And you're like, but, stop with the buts. I don't care how big your butt is. Okay? But the deal is are you willing enough to trust God through every single circumstance you're going through? Or are you just trying to do it on your own? Are you trying to do those things where you're just like, you know what, God, I know you, I trust you, but I'm going to do this anyway because I really don't trust you, but I'm convincing myself that I do trust you. You ever do that? Or are you really truly saying, God, I don't know what I'm going to do or how I'm going to do this, but I trust you? Because here's the deal. If you don't have joy in your life, you don't have strength in your life. Let me give you a good illustration. I was driving one time, and I'm using this as more of a crossover. I was driving one time. You ever fall asleep behind the wheel? Used to all the time. Driving one night, it was late at night, I was going from Virginia to Philadelphia, and to this day, I don't know how I lived. I was driving up later in the evening, it was only a 4-hour drive, and I fell asleep. I woke up 5 miles later. I have no idea how I stayed on the road, and when I woke up, I was literally 4 feet from the back of a tractor trailer, going at 70. I had the cruise control on. No idea. I had no strength that night. I was completely exhausted. And I want to tell you, the same correlation can be made about our joy. When you live with no joy, you live on E. You live asleep behind the wheel. And eventually, you're going to wind up waking up in the backside of a situation that you didn't want to be in. Because you don't have the joy to fight. Maybe you're sitting here, and you're like, financially, you've been waging a war on your finances, and you've been like, I'm trying to fight this financial battle, and you're like, I just can't seem like I'm going to win. I just want to give up. Maybe you're like fighting these family battles where it's you're like, if you don't change my child, I'm going to slap it out of them. No, you know you've been there. Maybe it's the relational battles where you're like, I don't even know if my spouse still loves me. I don't even know what's happening. And then the fight happens, and it comes down to this, is I don't know if I can keep on keeping on. I don't have the strength to move on and to fight the battles, because I'm going to tell you what, you've lost your joy. And when you've lost your joy, as I said earlier, it's very attractive to quit. It's very attractive to say, you know what, I just don't want to do this anymore. I just want to go and do something else. Because when I don't have any joy, then I don't have any fight. Because where am I getting the strength to fight? And the fact truth is I don't have it. Nehemiah 8 says this. It says, Nehemiah 8:10. He said to them, go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, Nehemiah was telling them to celebrate. They had just discovered the word of God after so many years. They had just finished rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. And I'm going to tell you, everything around them looked nice. Everything around them was now perfect. Everything around them was rebuilt. But what was in them wasn't rebuilt. The outside looked pretty while the inside was corroded. And so what happened was they found the law, and Ezra began to read the law, and he read the law, and a great revival, because of repentance, a great revival began to happen. I started asking some questions here. I was like, the joy of the Lord? What is the joy of the Lord? Do you ever ask those questions? You're like, because in Christianity, a lot of people are just assume that we just accept what people say instead of asking questions. I challenge you to ask more questions. If you don't, just figure out why or go deeper. the joy of the Lord. And I began to ask, I said, God, why is that? And then I looked at the context. Two things were happening here. The first thing was Ezra began to read the word. Now, I'm going to tell you, he read the word for 4 hours. He didn't tell stories. He didn't go up and give you good hermeneutical points. He didn't say, here's what I'm trying to say. He just read the word for over 4 hours. And the problem is most of us can't sit in church 40 minutes week in and week out. And there's a guy ever standing there for 4 hours. And the word was so strong and so powerful that a great revival happened because repentance, they all were convicted. And then they started weeping and crying because of that conviction. And what Nehemiah is saying, he says, look, you have brought the Lord joy today because you repented of your sins. Take joy in God's joy, wipe away your tears, and begin to celebrate. That's what he was saying. He says, begin to celebrate. The other thing was, is what brings the Lord joy, and this is what I'm reading here. It comes in verse 12. It says, all the people went away to eat, to drink, and send portions to celebrate a good festival because they understood the word of God, which had been known to them. They understood God's word. Not only was it read to them, but they understood. And when they understood, they did something about it. It reacted in their hearts. The truth of the matter is, the joy of the Lord, when you want to make God joyful, get in his word. Get into the Bible. Get into God's word and say, God, help me understand this. Give me revelation, because joy is uniquely attached to revelation of God. Because once we have revelation, the light bulb goes on, we begin to do what God has shown us. And that brings God a lot of joy. But here's the thing. Because when it brings God joy and we get it in our life, and then it says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to walk around here all bodybuilders. Okay? Walk out here, I got me a spare tire, I'm going to walk out here with a six-pack. No, not working that way. The only six-pack I'm going to walk out here with is a soda. Okay? That's it. But I started studying this, and what really blew my mind, that word in the Hebrew can also be translated as stronghold or refuge. The joy of the Lord is our refuge. Get that. Let that sink for a second. I'll explain it in a second. The joy of the Lord is our refuge, which means this. You know what refuge is? It's a place you can run and hide. A place that you can get to that'll bring safety. So in troubled times, when the joy of the Lord comes, in troubled times, you can run to the Lord, and he is your refuge and your safety in times of trouble. That he is able to not only keep you, but to increase you and to take care of your enemies. So it doesn't just mean that I have the strength inside of me. It doesn't just mean I'm suddenly built up. It means that in the times of the greatest troubles of my life, I can run to God, for he's my refuge, and in my refuge, he will strengthen me and consistently allow me to experience joy. Are you following me, guys? And it all comes back to that whole thing where it was, you know, they're reading the word, they're getting in the word, they're hearing the word, and then they're acting upon it. I tell you a couple stories, and then I'm going to share a scripture, and then we're going to pray. My biggest trouble, there are people that I call that every time I call, all they have on their lips is a negative word. All they have on their mouth that comes out of their mouth is something negative. And then they call and they say, how can I get the joy of the Lord? Have you read the word? Yes. Have you prayed? Yes. I think you need to actually do what the word says. What do you mean? Stop complaining, start speaking the promises, and then go out and let God give you joy as you're going. And hung up the phone, like, praise God, hung up the phone. The very next day, same thing happened. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm miserable. Dude, didn't we just cover this yesterday? I'm not like the counselor type sometimes. I don't kiss your boo-boos. I'm like, did you miss something? Let's talk about it again. Third time, you know what, dude, just don't call me. Just being real, guys. But the deal was, when you're presented with the very thing God is telling you, don't keep going back into old cycles and expect something different. Because that's what's happening. God is wanting to break your cycles and say, you know what? If you want joy in your life, begin to break the way you speak. If you want joy in your life, begin to do something different. You ain't read the word, begin to read the word. If you know the word, if you're a little bit more in the word, then stop reading the word and start doing the word. Because that is the other thing. I don't mean totally stop. Don't say, well, pastor said to put the Bible away and never pick it up. That's not what I'm saying. Because sometimes people do one extreme or the other. Sometimes they're in the word so much that they do nothing with it, or they're not in the word at all. The Bible tells us that not only do we need to be hearers of the word, but we need to be doers. And in the going, the joy of the Lord that is produced from that will be our refuge to give us joy in times of trouble. I love what Habakkuk says, and this is where we're going to kind of close. It says this, Habakkuk 3:17, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there no cattle in the stalls. Let me translate that for you guys who are like, huh? Though my life may suck, though I have no food, though I have no money, though I have no stores, though I have nothing and everything's going wrong, the donkey broke down. He says this, he says, yet, I love that word, yet, I will exalt the Lord and I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Though everything in my life seems to be going to pot, seems to be going wrong, yet I still have my salvation and I can rejoice in the Lord. And I want to end with this thought and we'll pray. Thank God we serve a God who never changes. You know, Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank God. Because that means I can shift my trust from my circumstances to my God. And then I can trust that my God will take care of the circumstances. And I can yet everything around me may have trouble, may burn, may do all these things, yet I can still take joy and have joy in my life because of my salvation. Think about that through this week. I challenge you. Study that out. Ask God, where's my joy? How can I get more in it? And then let him take you back to when the day you got saved, the day you knew that you were going to heaven with him. Tell you 10 to 1, you're going to look at that next person who tries to give you lip. You're like, you know what? You won't matter in 5 years or 2 minutes. Matter of fact, in 5 minutes you won't matter, but God will be with me forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. God, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith, of our joy, of our peace. Father, I pray that the atmosphere of peace that was in here today, that is still present, would begin to infiltrate the hearts of people today. Lord, where there's been unsteady, shaking ground, let the rock of the ages begin to pull a firm foundation of that ground so it no longer shakes in the storm. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would build a mighty tower on their foundations, that they can serve you deeper, love you more complete, and do all that you've asked them to do. In Jesus' name, and we pray. Amen.